for Thursday, May 19th. The order which will go today is do 1043 first, Senate bill, then House Bill 3183, and then spend a little time talking about revisiting the formula discussion we had and see if we have an amendment that's been drafted yet or not, and kind of see if we can't at least get some direction where this committee is to Steve on where we might want to go and bring that back in a week or two. Open up a public hearing on Senate Bill 1043. Mr. Meyer.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 1043 deals with federal forest receipts that go to the county road funds, and then subsequently whether the counties can transfer any of the county road fund money to the county school fund. Currently, there are provisions in the law for certain counties to do that with certain restrictions based on location and population and other factors, including a minimum balance in the road fund. There's a chart that you have in your packet that tries to lay that out in terms of which counties can currently do it. I don't know if any currently are doing it. But what the bill does then, Senate Bill 1043, is to generalize that process for all counties being able to transfer money from the county road fund when there's an excess of county road fund money to the county school fund. You have also a Dash 4 amendment that adds a restriction to the bill in terms of when the counties can do that, and it requires a minimum balance in the county road fund being at least twice the size, or the size being twice the amount of the prior year receipts. So that's the Dash 4, and there's no direct impact because it's all permissive language in terms of which counties would choose to do this.
From Coos Bay, Oregon, Senator Joanne Verger.
That trawl makes me homesick. Chair Deckard, members of the committee, I'm Joanne Verger, State Senator from District 5. I apologize today to you for the laryngitis, but I wasn't able to speak at all yesterday, so I'm delighted that I'm going to be able to give my testimony, and you do have a copy of it, so if you don't quite get the right pronunciation from this husky voice, you have it in front of you. But I am here this morning in support of Senate Bill 1043. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you for hearing the bill. The plight of our schools is well known. There is virtually no district that does not have its financial woes. Yet there is over $500 million in reserve in individual county road funds. While much of this money is needed for our county roads, some counties have amassed an extraordinary amount in reserve in their county road fund. Current law states that 75% of monies coming from the federal forest funds are allocated to their respective county road funds, and 25% goes to the county school funds. However, 10 of the 36 counties have exemptions that allow, when appropriate, for extra monies in the county road fund coming from federal forest revenues to be given to the county school fund. Senate Bill 1043 makes this ability uniform and consistent for all counties. There is no logical reason why some counties should have this ability and others do not. It should be noted clearly that this is not a mandate. The counties can only move monies from roads to schools if they choose to do so. The bill is about local control. It allows counties to have more discretion over their own budgeting process. It is a county's individual decision. There is some concern that schools will be in constant pursuit of these monies. That is why we have provided the Dash 4 amendments. We only are concerned about monies that are in excess of what is needed to provide adequate county roads. The Dash 4 amendments state clearly that only monies that are in excess of two times the county road fund's annual may be transferred to the county school fund. The Association of Oregon Counties had suggested a one-time annual, However, we wanted to be absolutely sure that the county road funds were well funded, so we upped the bar to 2 times the annual. If this bar has been achieved, and only if the counties decide that additional monies are not necessary, then federal forest funds in the county road fund could be transferred to the county school fund. It should also be said that this money cannot be counted against the county schools in their allocation of funds from the state. The funds cannot be taken from one county to another county. The monies have to stay within the county and cannot be used against the county in other funds that it receives. Currently, there are 8 counties that have more than 2 times their annual in reserve, with 2 counties nearing the threshold. The amount of money in reserve from these counties ranges from $8.5 million to $90 million. Even a small amount of this money would be of great benefit to the schools in those counties, given our current economic woes. Counties should have the ability to determine if their schools are in greater need than their roads and be empowered to do something about it. I think this is a good bill. Chair Deckard and members of the committee, I urge a favorable vote on Senate Bill 1043, and I thank you for hearing the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I would like to add that there will be opposition to the bill today, and so in order for you to perhaps know what questions you might want to ask, you might like to hear both sides of the argument. So, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, and, you know, we're not going to let anyone oppose one of your bills, and so we just won't call upon them to...
She's the chair of transportation, and I would be very careful about opposing her bill.
That's true. That's true. Questions for Senator Verger? Thank you. Let's go right down the list. Billy Joe Smith from Lincoln County School Board, Brenda Brown from Lincoln County, and Tom, Mr. I think Runyons, I'm going to mispronounce your name. Oh, I got it right. Mr. Runyons.
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah, all three. Yeah. If that works for you.
It's fine. We each have a statement to give. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, that is perfect. What part of Lincoln County? We're all fans of that county.
The whole county.
Oh, boy.
Our school district is was a county unit, so
right.
We are in a county. Chairman Deckard and members of the committee, my name is Billy Joe Smith. My address is 1239 Southeast Pine Street in Toledo, Oregon, and I'm chair of the school board of the Lincoln County School District. Our board passed a resolution supporting Senate Bill 1043, which is printed on the reverse side of my testimony, which you received. The resolution notes that the board is committed to the best education possible for students. Basically, we have not received adequate or stabilized funding and need to seek other funding. And therefore, we, as the Lincoln County School District Board, supports the bill to allow an additional potential revenue source for the funding of our schools. Now, the following comments are my own and have not been acted upon by the board, and that's an important thing for me to mention here. First, I want to thank Senator Joanne Verger for sponsoring Senate Bill 1043 and our representative, Alan Brown, for co-sponsoring the bill. Our schools in Lincoln County desperately need funding beyond that's supplied by the state funding formula. My district has been reducing staff and programs for students since 1991. 2 years ago, we reduced our approximately $40 million budget by $10 million. Then this year, we now face another $5.2 million shortfall as we plan for this second biennium. This would be $5.2 million just for next year. This may be even greater depending on what the state results are for the budget, as ours is based on $5.25 billion for the state, and that's questionable. These shortfalls for next year mean a reduction of 2 administrative positions, 48.61 licensed staff, and 17.84 classified in our district. We will also have additional reductions in staff for our students as we are getting a lower level of title funding from the federal government. We're closing two more buildings. That makes eight total closed buildings in Lincoln County. And school allocations have been cut by 20% as well. The reductions mean huge class sizes, loss of more electives, loss of more music, loss of lots of art programs, and fewer teaching materials in our schools. We have already, as a part of the $10 million reduction, outsourced our busing, food service, and custodians. We have lost all elementary guidance counselors. We have only one certified media specialist for the entire district of over 5,600 students. In order to restore a quality education for our students, we must seek additional funds from many different sources. And because we're a county which pays more in property taxes than we receive from the state, it is difficult to justify increased property taxes to our citizens. Senate Bill 1043 could provide limited one-time money, which could provide crucial assistance. It could also enable possible collaborative ventures between counties and school districts. I would suggest, however, that the proposed amendment to Senate Bill 1043, which is a compromise to protect county reserve funds, is too great a compromise. I recognize the need for counties to maintain reserves, but I also request that you reduce the amount retained, as mentioned in the amendment, to 1.5 times the amount received rather than greater than 2 times the amount received. I've been advised that both Linn and Lincoln counties would be excluded from eligibility for any funding if the current amendment language remains. I also support Senate Bill 1043 because it provides greater equity among counties receiving federal forest funds. It also provides greater local control and increases the responsibilities for county commissioners, which I believe is a good thing. I recognize and respect the concerns of commissioners for their road reserve funds, and I hope to work with them to develop additional options for improving schools, which in turn will foster stronger communities. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Do you know how we, the proponents and Senator Berger might want to answer this, but how they arrived at the 2 times the annual reserve?
I know that it was negotiated, and they set it at a relatively high level. I don't know the exact negotiation.
We'll ask the counties.
No, I can't answer that question for you.
Okay. Good morning.
Hi. you have before you written testimony from Dr. Robert Nelson. He's the superintendent of the Linn Benton Lincoln Educational Service District. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm getting to mine.
No, I said, I'll state your name. Oh,
okay. I'm Brenda Brown.
I was whispering, you caught me on that one.
And I live in Toledo in Lincoln County as well. And I'd like to refer back to Dr. Nelson's written testimony. He did want to be here today to address you, but because of prior commitments was unable to, and so has provided this testimony for you to look at.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Floyd Przanski.
I'm wondering if since we have the written testimony, if it would be all right with you for us to read that. It seems like you're going to give us your own testimony, and I'd rather hear what you want to say instead of what has been written by someone else.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, shall I proceed with mine?
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. That would be terrific.
Okay. I'd like to begin by thanking both Senator Starr and Senator George for co-sponsoring Senate Bill 1043. I'm sure that you are all well aware of this bill and its intent to equalize access to those U.S. forest fees that are distributed to schools and counties under the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. As the law stands currently, only 10 Oregon counties, including Senator Metzger's Hood River County, have the option of transferring excess county road funds to the county's school districts. Grant County has been making such transfers for many years. I'm sure that you are all also well aware of the dire needs of our Oregon schools. This is a bit repetitive. In Lincoln County, we're eliminating 48 teachers, closing 2 school buildings, and much more after years and years of cuts. You've already heard about our schools, so I'm here to talk to you about dollars. In fiscal years 2001 through 2003, the latest for complete figures, $291 million plus in U.S. Forest Service payments were distributed to county road funds statewide. In Lincoln County, as an example, these payments equaled $9,574,160. The County Road Department Reserve Fund now stands at approximately $7,142,844. In each of the last 2 years, the Road Fund has also created a $1 million contingency fund and increased the Capital Outlay Fund by more than $1 million each year. The intent of this bill, as I have stated, is equalization. As it stands now amended, the requirement of equal to or greater than 2 times the amount received by the county from all sources in the prior fiscal year for the County Road Fund places a limitation at such a high standard as to make the option of fund transfers unattainable for the majority of county units. I understand the need to set guidelines for a transfer request. However, I would ask that this bar be lowered to a maximum of 1.5 times that amount received. By making this adjustment, Crook, Curry, Douglas, Lincoln, and Linn counties would become able to consider this option. Passage of this bill will give more local control on how these federal forest fees would be spent. Good roads and transportation needs are important to all Oregonians, as is a sound education and public school system. This bill would not require county commissioners to give monies to their county schools, but would simply allow that option. Admittedly, these commissioners will have a difficult choice in balancing the needs of their respective county road systems and the potential requests of their schools. However, the option of local decision-making is optimal whenever possible, and this bill would allow that possibility. Finally, I just would like to bring to your attention that these monies are not new dollars, nor are they new taxes. They are monies that could make a large difference in our struggling schools. In this time of funding instability, communities need to be allowed to make these difficult choices based on what would be best for their specific locality. I very much thank you for hearing our bill and considering this matter. And if you have any questions, I would be more than happy to answer them.
Thank you. Questions for Ms. Brown. Mr. Runyon.
Chairman Decker, Revenue Committee members. My name is Tom Runyons. I have come from Newport today to give testimony in support of Senate Bill 1043. And thank you for considering this bill. I have worked for the County Road Department for 26 years, 16 years as a road maintenance supervisor. In this position, I have helped develop and am required to utilize the road maintenance operating budget. In the early 1980s, the road department funding level was at a minimum for road maintenance. We cut brush with machetes and shoveled gravel to fill potholes by hand. Because the road department receives $2+ million each year from state motor vehicle fees, there is an adequate funding source for minimal maintenance. Funding levels for roads and transportation has improved significantly since that time due to the consistent funding created by, first, the Spotted Owl Guarantee, and the second, by the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act. You will hear that the county road departments must carry large reserve funds to cover destruction from unexpected events. In my county, there exists a $1 million contingency fund, as well as an $8+ million reserve fund. It is necessary to put the cost of such events into perspective. You might remember the destructive windstorm that hit the coast in the mid-1990s. The storm caused extensive property damage, power outages that lasted for days, downing of trees, and multiple road closures. The existing road department budget was and still is built in such a way as to absorb this type of natural event. No additional dollars were needed nor requested in the aftermath of this event. In 1996, our state experienced what many acknowledge as the worst recorded flood in our history and was the only federally declared disaster in my time with the road department. Roads were closed throughout the county due to downed trees, washouts, slides, and flooding. The cost of the natural disaster to our county roads was approximately $2 million. Of this cost, $1.7 million was reimbursed to us by federal disaster relief. Not all the events will be covered by a disaster declaration, but the existing $1 million contingency and a small reserve fund would be sufficient to cover this sort of cost. You may hear that these reserve funds are needed for county bridges, for pavement restoration, or for the upgrading of existing infrastructure within the county. These are all things that need to be addressed. The State Transportation Improvement Program, STIP, provides lists of numerous federal and state funding sources for just such work. For all the above reasons, I would ask that all counties be allowed to give the option of transferring excess road department funds received from U.S. Forest Service payments to their county schools. By giving county commissioners the authority to make this decision, each county would be able to prioritize their needs on a local level. I would also encourage support for reauthorization of the Secure Rural Schools and Community Self-Determination Act with equitable distribution to the local level for local priority. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. It's good testimony from someone who probably knows both worlds, the transportation and the school world. Questions for this panel?
Mr. Chair, I have one question that may not be for this panel, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there, and that's really the source of the road funds. Mr. Runyon, your testimony, at first you talked about the transferring of $2 million from the state motor vehicle fees, and then at the last part you made reference to department funds received from the U.S. Forest Service payments. And I've just got a question here, knowing where we have, if the road funds are coming through state collection of taxes, as to whether those can actually even be diverted for the use and something outside of what the road funds are. And I know we've got a law that's on the books right now that says that it's being done. And so I don't know if this will be for staff or for legal counsel, but I think it's just something I'm going to want to have some comfort as to knowing the source of the funds and whether or not there's any jeopardy here of being in violation of use of road funds if they're state. I would assume that they're federal. If they're federal payments, that they are not on the same limitation of use as state road funds.
Mr. Chair, Senator Prezanski, we're talking about just the federal forest receipts going into the road fund.
Thank you.
And possibility of transferring only from that source.
Okay.
The only question, I guess, that comes to mind for me, and it's more, the two, I guess, tension areas on this would be, one is we're going to hear from the county commissioners, and they're going to have in a moment. The other one that I think of is that we've moved to, well, and we in this committee have talked a lot about it, is this very decentralized tax structure where, with Measure 5, we move funding responsibilities to the state. The state's obviously never been able to really fulfill what we hoped would be a full allocation to schools. And so you see activity across the state, and this is just another good example of the activity, but pick up the paper this morning in Portland and you hear about a cell phone tax that would go to cover what's going to be a big shortfall in the Portland public schools. Many districts, including the ones I represent, have passed either property tax increases just to stay locally with their schools, and we have this funding formula that we're going to talk about next that distributes revenues very least just in whole unequally across the state. And so as we move to from Ashland to what Ontario just voted on to the cell phone and for this proposal, I wonder if it concerns this panel at all that in some ways we're waving the white flag on any state solution, because we'll just see the blooming of 100 flowers in 100 different communities. Some will find ways to augment their school funding. Others will strike out, and maybe that's the environment we have to live in, is that some find their niche and some don't, and some just rely wholly on the state. But it really, at that point, I think you've said, we at the state level are not going to, whether it's reform our tax structure or do something to really address the heart of the issue. I don't know if this panel, if you have thoughts or freedom.
But that's the reality we've been living with. And it's as though at this point, after since 1991, seeing what's happened to our schools, I don't know. I feel that I can't count on the state providing the funding we need to provide a quality education at all. And so we must seek other funding. I think the ideal thing would be for the state to provide funding for a quality education for all students in Oregon, and that all of our communities and cities would benefit. But that hasn't been forthcoming, and it doesn't seem to be in sight. Mm-hmm. So we're looking. I mean, we've got to do something, and we're going to do whatever we can.
Mm-hmm. Which I think would be my position if I was on the school board. One other question I have, and then Senator Brzezinski, have y'all explored in Lincoln County the local option that is in place, and do you think it may just not be something that the voters might approve, or maybe you voted on it in Lincoln County?
The board considered putting it to a vote for this current May election, and did not, partly the double majority, partly it's a very difficult thing to justify to our people, because again, as you saw in the Oregonian about a week ago, we're one of the counties that our property taxes are very high, and we provide more money than we get from the state. So it's hard to justify. I think that it will be on our calendar again to discuss and consider it this year.
And then perhaps November you might consider going for something in the November election.
I think the board will discuss it, yes, and consider it. I don't know which way we'll go.
Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to follow up on your comments on the state, you said, I guess, willingness or able to, I think is the word. To me, it's more the distinction of not able versus willingness to do what the voters said that they wanted to see happen with Measure 5. My hope is that now that we have a split in power, having the chambers being represented by the different parties, that maybe through the interim work this time, because it's been 10 years since we've had a split, that we'll actually start seeing some work in maybe some of these areas that have not been addressed before. The other concern I really do have is as we see more and more communities reaching out and taking care of the schools, I think we're setting ourselves up for another challenge on equalization and equity. And I think that's one of those things that maybe this is what we need to have happen again to make sure that we here at the state do what is our duty as to what the voters said in Measure 5, and that's for us to provide the funding at the level that it's supposed to be. I mean, there's very few school districts that can come before us and say they have benefited since Measure 5 passed, except for some of the stuff we've done for high growth schools. Almost every one of those being impacted, and how many programs have been lost, teachers, staffing. And it's just, you know, it's made our kids basically, in my opinion, second or third class citizens in the world of education.
Thank you very much for traveling over this morning.
Thank you.
You have a lovely county, despite your county commissioner.
We won't comment on that.
Very good friend of mine.
Are we talking about Captain Sensitivity?
That's right. An old colleague of all of ours.
It's somebody with a red face in the back of the room.
All right, here we go. Commissioner Tim Josie, the president of the Association of Oregon Counties, former state representative, Tillamook.
Presidente.
Got his left hand raised, and we're not going to even make him swear an oath we could. With Tim, Mr. John O'Shell and Gil Riddell.
I do.
And you have.
And I have. Well, thank you very much for listening to us today. I'm, as you said, I'm Tim Josie,
Tolma County Commissioner, the President of the Association of Oregon Counties, former legislator, and I'm, you know, one of the bad guys talking about this bill. And what I want to do is, we've talked about needs today. The schools have needs, and we all know that. We empathize with them, and we certainly don't want to get into a match with schools, because we understand the issues that have been very eloquently discussed before we got up here. We also have needs. You see the picture on the front? I'll talk a little bit more about that, but if you could go to the very back handout, you see a bar graph, and you can see the purple is what I'll just call the safety net legislation dollars, U.S. Forest receipts or in lieu of timber receipts. And zoom on down to Tolma County, and you can see Tolma County, for the most part, the purple is the safety net legislation. Tolma County is, for the most part, pretty much in the middle of the pack. And I want to, the reason why I showed you that is because I want to talk a little bit about Tolma County and our needs for our roads, so that you understand that there are other, that we're also hurting. A couple of years ago, more than that, about 4 years ago, we tried to pass a 6-year levy bond measure to help fix our roads. And we actually had, this was when John O'Shell worked for me. He was our county road superintendent. We had a sort of a tongue-in-cheek contest to find the worst pothole, and this one won. And then you can see now, this is a, she's looking and somebody's snorkeling down there. Now just imagine this being a school bus driver, and they're looking for some school bucks or school books that got bumped out because of this thing. And so the message is, two messages. Number one, our roads are in dire straits. It's a crisis as far as I'm concerned, and I'll talk more about that. And these are not the kind of roads that we want our school buses on. If you look at the next chart, this is the safety net legislation, and this, we're in the latter part, almost the ninth hour of the second safety net legislation. The first one started in 1994, and then it dropped down substantially to 2000. We don't have 2000 forward, but 2000 forward was the Craig Wyden bill, and it sunsets in September of next year. The Craig Wyden bill was substantially better because it started the curve back up again at one half of the inflationary rate. Not enough, but it stopped the downward slide. And this is in, and as you all know, this is in really in lieu of timber receipts because of the spotted owl. Senator George knows all about that. He and I were running against each other when the spotted owl was listed.
And we were talking about roads and schools.
Yes, we were. All right, now to the next chart. This is also another John O'Shell chart that he developed when he worked for Tolma County. And the red is the need, and that's based on 3% inflation a year. The green is the federal forest revenues for Tolma County, as you can see, is dropping. I want you to concentrate on the yellow, because there is another message that this affords me the opportunity to deliver, as Senator Prozanski mentioned. The last time a gas tax was passed successfully and stuck was when I was in the legislature in 1991. And so, as you can see, the gas tax, which is in the yellow, the motor vehicle fund, hasn't raised, hasn't kept up with inflation, and is causing the problems that we're facing in Tolma County. We went from 53 employees for the road fund. We're down to 33 now. John had to lay off a bunch of people out of our road fund. So, and then moving on to the next chart, for our road department, our DMV funds or motor vehicle funds is $1.4 million. Our safety net legislation for this year is $1.7 million. And then another $181,000 from additional federal funds. The next chart, periodically all road departments they hire a consultant to do a pavement condition index, and good is 70 to 100, and you would expect ODOT roads to be up in that category, and they're right around 80. Satisfactory is 50 to 69, and then fair, you know, you can read it, but if you go to the next one, Tillamook County's overall pavement condition average is 51. So we're just barely holding our own. And some of our roads, we're losing our investment because the base is broken and the surface is broken, and we're going to have to replace the base. That's what is happening. This road is gone. We're going to have to start over with this road. Now, if you move to the next chart, this consulting firm looked at what we're doing, and currently, this year, we're budgeted to spend $566,000 in pavement overlay. That's just maintenance. And that's all we're spending. Now, in order to get us up to the mid-range, for the next 6 years, we should be spending per year an additional $4.3 million. We don't have that kind of money. It's not there. Just to tread water and get us to a pavement condition index of 56, we should be at about $500,000 more a year. We don't even have that, so our roads are going downhill. The consultant said that the value of our roads are at $268 million for Tillamook County, and as you can see, we're losing our investment. This is a crisis for us. If you go to the next page is my testimony. I'm going to just go through this very quickly. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm just going to concentrate on a couple of points. This legislation pits schools against counties, and that's a no-win situation. This is the school funding crisis that we're facing should not be shifted to the counties. I can just see mad parents coming to Tillamook County and saying, you ought to take your safety net legislation dollars and put it in schools. And we don't have the money to give them. And so all of a sudden it puts us in an untenable situation. Certainly there are some counties, as you know, that have an excess of revenues. But my message to you is that this safety net legislation sunsets next year. September of next year, it goes away. There's a huge effort to get this reauthorized. And I've been in Washington, D.C. twice this year. I attended a national conference over in Reno. And the message is it may not pass. It may not happen again. And so I think what we ought to do, what's best for us, we ought to continue trying to solve the problem that we have with schools, and the state ought to do the right thing. And in the meantime, let's not do this now. We'll know in the next session if this bill has been reauthorized. Then let's sit down and talk about the counties that have some additional dollars. And then remember, the bill already has exception counties, and all but a couple of them, of the counties that have extra revenues are exception counties now. So this bill really does very little to solve the educational funding crisis. The money might not be there in the long run, as I've already said, and it pits counties against schools. I just don't think that it's a good idea at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Josie. Questions for... So Tim, I guess the one that comes to mind is, and we kind of went through this because it's permissive by nature, this bill is, we went through it on the urban renewal also. Why can't you, if just say no, when folks come and they say they'd like, or if they don't come? But part of our job is to say no and yes, and sometimes the best answer we can give is no, we just can't do it. And I guess I'd put that to you of, why couldn't you just say to the school districts, no, we've allocated this money elsewhere?
Senator Deckard, I remember my second to last term in the legislature sat on the Revenue Committee. And I remember I asked not to be on the Revenue Committee my last term because of the very upset parents, teachers, coaches. I had a coach sitting right here crying one day. And their schools are really hurting. How do you say no? You I think you know that the answer to that as well as I do. It's really tough. Emotionally, it's tough when the schools don't have enough money to educate their kids to the level that is really needed. How do you say no? Mm-hmm.
Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tim, I'm going to just throw a few things out to you because you've been in our place. And I guess I'm really kind of surprised with the testimony that the counties are taking, because either you should be here telling us we should repeal what's already law, or we should be looking at what's happened on the east side for those counties that have actually had this availability. And I look at the county road funds, and I guess one of the questions I'm going to ask for Gil or someone to be able to answer for me is what has happened in those counties that have had this opportunity? Have they actually used any of their road funds for services going back to schools? But, you know, this local control issue, I think as the chair said, I mean, what I'm hearing is you want us to protect you as county commissioners from being able to have to face your constituents if that was given to you as a means to decide and take away maybe from another county that may want to have that opportunity. And when I look at the numbers, I mean, Tillamook, there's absolutely no way that Tillamook is going to be impacted by this. And I know you're here today not only as a Tillamook commissioner, but also for the president of the organization. And I hear what you're saying, but it just doesn't make sense to me when we hear people say give local control, then when we're at a position to potentially give that, we're having some people tell us don't give it to us because we may have to stand up and say why we can't do this. And it seems like we're really cutting that dialogue and making maybe citizens to understand the dire straits that all of us are in at the county level, the state level, the cities, to be able to provide services I think they demand. And when we see through the initiative process, you look at Measure 11, mandatory minimum sentencing. You know, when I ran, that was the time I ran when it was for vote as an assistant district attorney, I ran against it because I didn't see the funding that was necessary to make it happen. It's also taking away discretion from judges to make a decision on a case-by-case basis. Now we have the largest cost driver in our corrections is Measure 11, 43% of the cost. And there's no accountability back to the voters when we put stuff they put stuff before themselves and us as voters, and they pass it, and all of a sudden now we have a demand for a new service or an expanded service, but no revenue or no guidance of what we cut or how we increase revenue to pay for it.
Well, first of all, I don't have the answer in terms of how the counties that the half a dozen counties that do have additional safety net revenues, I don't know whether they've been asked or whether they are giving. I think there's one or two. Gil can answer that. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, schools and counties have formed a coalition and they banded together to get this legislation reauthorized. This is not the time for us to be fighting. If we get this thing authorized, I would request that we put off this discussion until 2 years from now when we can, and we'll know at that point in time whether this is a mute subject or whether we can sit down and have that discussion, but not now. Not now when we have formed a coalition and working together to get this thing reauthorized. We shouldn't be fighting now.
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, that is a very, very legitimate point. And I, you know, it isn't, you don't think when you're looking at these numbers, and Tim, I'm looking at your county, and I looked at Lincoln County as far as the percentage of reserves they have. And then I come over and I look at my new district, which doesn't have nearly the risk of catastrophic weather conditions, you know, the result kind of damage that occurs on the coast. And I really worry that your reserves are even nearly as large as they should be. But the situation is that we're really going to be, in effect, fighting over the deck chairs on the Titanic here. And that it is, we're trying to split this hair so fine that with this giant weight over our head as to whether or not those federal dollars will be reauthorized. And I am very sympathetic for this because I think I know this road on this front page. I think I've been down that road. And I think about a school bus going down that road. And so we're spending extra dollars on school bus maintenance and repair because they had to go down a county road that couldn't be maintained. So it is a very, very difficult situation.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, if I could, when the time is right to have this discussion, it's important that we have it and talk about. One of the things that we ought to be talking about is what is an adequate level of reserves. And if I could have John O'Shell speak to that.
John O'Shell, County Road Program Manager with the Association of Oregon Counties. When you talk about a reserve in a county road fund, there's really about four elements of that. Now, some of these mush into each other, but basically you're talking the cash flow situation, a contingency for odd, weird stuff happening. Sometimes you've got stuff allocated where you've got a project that might be a year or two out that you're reserving it for, and then finally you just got some reserves that are being built up for the risk of the funding going away. Let me explain a few of those. The cash flow, really on a road department, just for cash flow reasons, at July 1, which is the time everyone measures, because that's the beginning of the year, you have to have about three-quarters of your budget in reserve. Now, what you've got to understand is the funding sources we have, there's basically three main ones that different counties have. Property tax comes in November. National timber receipts comes in very late December, early January. The gas tax has a delay on it, so we don't get the payment from the big summer revenue blip until fall. And so basically on the funding cash flow, we just don't have it there. The other thing that happens with your cash flow is you think about a road department, our major expenditures are in the summer. That's when we do the construction work. That's when we do the in-water work. That's when we do the paving. You think of any work we do in June at the beginning of summer, that gets paid for in July. So all of our big ticket expenses are done before we get the money. And so we have to have that reserve to cover ourselves. The contingency, almost any bridge replacement now, unless you're talking a pretty small bridge, you get over $1 million real fast. All you got to do is look at the list of the OTIA bridges that were being replaced. And there were a few in the 700,000s, 800,000s. But mostly, you're over $1 million real fast. What can happen to you in a storm? I mean, at the worst end, the 1996 storm in Tillamook, that was $5 million damage when we had a $2.5 million budget. Now, that was a big one, but it doesn't take too big a storm to get over $1 million. Just a few slides, and you've got to start contracting that stuff to get it out, to get the old roads open in a hurry. $1 million doesn't go very far. So that's your contingency. I mentioned about allocated for projects. Typically, a county who is trying to get a big project is saving money. Even if it's match money for a federal aid project, your bridge replacement funds are 20%. You're talking about a $4 or $5 million bridge. You get up real close to $1 million, you've got to be holding to pay for that, and you typically save 2 or 3 years to get that money. I mean, you get the authorization for the federal funding, and you don't have to actually make the payment for about 3-4 years out. As soon as you get the authorization, you're socking away money to pay for that, much less a project that might not have federal funding. And there are projects out there that we do fund, and we don't get federal aid. You've got to put some money away. It's not one of the counties we're talking about. One of the biggest counties with biggest reserves is Washington County, because they basically ran some tax measures, got the money. The money comes in a lump, and then they spend it. But once again, it sits there. It looks like a big reserve, but it's dedicated to projects. When people voted for the tax, they want those projects built. And then you finally get to the reserve. And what I would tell you, just listening anecdotally to the counties that have the good timber revenues coming in now in the last 5-6 years have been socking it away. I mean, plain and simple. They are scared to death because the news is not sounding good on reauthorization. I can see funding on some of these counties where they, in fact, are spending. I'm seeing the pavement deteriorate on some of these counties that have good money, and it's because they are putting the money away because they believe it is going away. Now, until we get that issue resolved, they're running scared.
Mr. Chair, the one diagram that I didn't show you, the blue is the safety net dollars. This gets back to the deck chairs on the Titanic. If that legislation is not reauthorized, we go back to the actual timber receipts, which is the purple. And so people are scared. The red. Red, purple.
Look purple to me.
Burgundy. Mr. Chair.
Jim,
I want to follow up on two things, and Gil, I'd like to get that information that you probably have on what the other counties have done. I, too, have gone back to D.C. on the reauthorization last year. I spent an extra day after traveling for a legislative business, just be on the Hill and talk to people. I do represent a district now that definitely has those concerns. And from my discussions with the people in Douglas County, the commissioners, the last I heard, and that's not been updated for about a month, they felt that possibly what could happen is reauthorization does occur, but maybe funding doesn't come until the next cycle. Have you heard something different?
No, I haven't heard that one.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brzezinski, the latest that we've heard, and it's been pretty consistent, given the budget situation and the historic deficits in Washington, D.C., this safety net was passed at a time of historic reserves in D.C., budget surpluses. The situation is now reversed, and we have, fortunately, we have the right people in the right places, but they all tell us and have told us consistently that it's a 51-49 at best that this be reauthorized, given the war and the deficit and everything else in D.C. So we've been devoting all our energy and focus to that. The legislature was generous enough to adopt a resolution urging a memorial, urging readoption, and we've gotten that through other state legislatures, and we're working to get to expand that. We've got a resolution before the Western Governors Association. We're working with other organizations nationally and in other states in particular. Oregon gets 54% of the national revenues. So we're not in position to take the lead. Our job has been to have others do that, but we have been frankly bankrolling a lot of the activities because of that. It's only fair that we do that, but that's what our energy is devoted to, and there's a genuine risk that it will not be reauthorized.
Any further questions for our counties?
Yes. Gail, if you have the information as to the counties under the existing law, how many of the counties on the east side have actually allowed any use of their road funds for schools?
Mr. Chair, Senator Brzezinski, I called some of them. I was able to get information on a couple. Grant County does share. Their judge, Dennis Reynolds, said that he has to go through an education process with the schools about the kinds of issues that John O'Shell has mentioned. If they do determine that there's a genuine excess, then they will transfer some to schools. Harney County has not. Klamath County does so, but I believe it's limited, and I don't know if they've done it. I've not talked directly to them, but I can find out from every one of these counties and report to you later. But I believe their excess, what they decide is excess, is limited to capital expenditures for schools. I may be incorrect in that. Curry County is an exception county. I don't believe they have shared recently, although they have in the past. And same with Harney County. Harney County has not. They're an exception county. Have not shared. I will run the table on these exception counties and report. I'll submit something in writing to a committee.
And I've got to say one other thing, Mr. Chair. Tim, regarding the coalition, do you not think that if the schools, I know that they're working together now because I've worked with both the school districts as well as the county officials, both in Douglas and Lane, for the reauthorization. But if there was a belief that possibly if the county's road funds were in such such shape that they could in fact consider being used for schools, that this coalition would be even stronger than what it might be today?
Well, for the most part, that's already happening with the potential's already there with the exception counties. You put me in a difficult spot. I represent all the counties as the president of the association. All I can commit to you is that if we get this thing, we're successful in reauthorization, we ought to sit down and talk in a couple of years.
I guess the hard, and not to
to reiterate what I guess my first point, but the hard thing for me on bills like this is that it's just an option for folks. It's harder when it's it's a different conversation when it's mandatory, whether it's city or counties, but to open up an avenue and then trust counties to make the right call on it, I guess that's the barrier for me of why I'd have to hear just such a strong rationale of why we would not have an option open.
Another tool in the toolbox.
A common phrase that we use, and but we'll give you the opportunity to talk to us offline. I don't think we'll move this.
We all have options, as do you.
Oh yeah, I agree. We try to exercise them sometimes. Last session we went through a whole long exercise in trying to convince Oregonians and statewide solutions are just, we're finding, and I don't have to tell you this, Tim, you know, it's just more and more difficult. We've tried Measure 28, Measure 30 was our best efforts, and obviously voters didn't agree that those were the options, and so I think it does create this climate where you're just going after it's cell phones, it's county road money, it's a sales tax in Ashland that kind of offsets for schools, and you really do get into environment. I don't disagree with you on that in some ways it's not the most logical way of funding schools. It's just whatever you can do, folks try to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chuck Bennett, Mr. David Williams.
Mr. Chairman, Chuck Bennett, Confederation of Oregon School Administrators. We're here in support of Senate Bill 1043 as written. The amendment, we believe, should only be considered if that's the only way to pass this bill. We've listened to the comments from the counties. I don't think we can add to the comments that members of the committee have made regarding the permissive nature of this bill. This does not mandate anything. If it does anything, it permits a discussion that's been allowed to occur in counties, often wealthier counties around the state, who have decided to share revenues with their local school district for a variety of reasons. And I think the ultimate question, not whether federal legislation is going to pass or whether county road reserves are adequate, or any of the other, I think, genuinely extraneous issues that have been tossed on the table, including potholes, are resolved. It's whether or not local county officials, along with their school board members and other members of the community, want to sit down and work out ways of funding their schools at the local level that might include some county revenues. In this case, it would allow counties to use funds that are already arriving with a portion of them assigned to education and use them at a higher level in their local community. I guess listening to Commissioner Josie, who I've known a long time and respect tremendously and understand his political sensitivities on these issues, but I guess, trust me, the local Tillamook School Board is having to say no to a lot of people as well, a lot of people who are real unhappy about hearing no. And I think with the kind of evidence that Tim presented regarding potholes and the condition of roads and the potential impact of climate on Tillamook roads, he'll have no problem making a case for saying no to his local school districts if they come to him asking for a portion of their county road funds. Mr. Chairman, this, we think, is a classic opportunity for the legislature to allow something to occur at the local level without deciding it in advance. We're used to the question of mandates and all the rest of it. I guess after listening to the testimony from the counties, the question I came away with was asking myself whether they are asking you to gutting stuff this bill with a mandate regarding county road reserves, because that's what it sounded like. That is not what the issue is here today. The issue is to allow local people to make local decisions for local economic development reasons, for local safety reasons, et cetera, and to include another portion of funding that is available that could be used for education. The other thing I think that caught my attention was that we didn't hear from counties where this is already permissive, saying that somehow they've been hornswoggled by a change in the law. Someone came in here and asked for a change in this law that allowed these permissive counties to occur. No one's here saying from those counties that we have been beat about the head and shoulders by local school districts to take money away from desperately needed road or just important road projects. And I think without that testimony, you have to kind of ask yourself if there is a problem out there where this has been permitted, and pretty clearly there hasn't, where counties have excess road funds, they believe they're excess, and they're funds that would be better spent for the benefit of the entire community on education. They've made that decision. And where they haven't, they haven't. And this bill just seems like a classic opportunity for the legislature, again, to permit this kind of local discussion. Thank you.
Questions for Ms. Bennett? Ms. Williams.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, David Williams, Oregon School Boards Association. Just really here to second everything that my colleague from COSA said. We couldn't agree more, and although I probably wouldn't have used the word hornswoggle on public testimony. Regarding the Dash 4 amendments, just we've just seen them now, and so I'm just kind of reading through them and digesting them. As reading the sheet from Legislative Revenue Office, just a curious thing that the amendments do, it really just sort of shuffles the list of exception counties around. Under current laws, I see it, there are 10 exception counties, and under the Dash 4 would reduce that to 8 exception counties, retaining 5 of the original and adding 3 different ones. So just kind of looking at it, you know, it, again, just important if you were going to consider the Dash 4 amendments to kind of review that and see which counties are in and which are out. Just a curious way that amendment affects who are in and not. Mm-hmm.
Questions for
David? You may know this, sir, or Chuck. There was a question asked earlier, or actually Steve, just following Measure 5 and the equalization effort, do you know in general, have there been districts that have seen an increase in their state appropriation and generally where that has occurred?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I can't off the top of my head say exactly where it occurred, but yes, when you equalize, there were those who went down and those who went up in order to arrive at an equalization, and the impact was often felt in wealthier counties as a result, but not universally. So it was just a matter, and I think it's important to remember, Oregon did this equalization without a new tax resource to fund it. Most states wouldn't have taken on what the legislature took on in providing equalization without an additional resource, and that's really what it's taken in a lot of other states where they've faced this problem. That's my recollection of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned state resources. I believe most districts in the state, post-ballot Measure 5, most all states received a higher state appropriation because, of course, we shift the burden from local appropriation to state appropriation. So you kind of, when you're looking at all of those numbers, if you just look at the overall school funding numbers, as Chuck said, there were, some brought up and some brought down.
I'm looking at that total per pupil. And you hear anecdotal stories of some districts were able to just build new high schools. And I've never actually saw a good report on it, but build new high schools that their appropriation jumped so high, and that other districts, obviously. But I've never seen, and I'm sure it's out there, just a good analytical look 10 years back at kind of how that's played itself out with no real net resources at the table to help help. But
well, in looking at that, there's like five variables you have to hold for, you know, increase in student population, the shift from the Measure 5 property taxes, state dollars. So it does get very complicated when you kind of look at that, holding it over time. But
you know, Mr. Chairman, I just as an aside, I served in the legislature as well in the early 80s, and when I served, Lincoln County was here as well because of property tax related issues. They were having terrible problems over there. The question of school funding, as the state's role has occurred in it, it has been an ongoing issue, whether it was, are we going to provide 30% of local revenue pre-Measure 5, or are we going to provide 45% or 42% at this point of the general fund to them. I mean, there's always a discussion around this issue, and I found it interesting listening to the discussion and realizing it was Lincoln County that was here again with an issue, and they were right then, and I really think they're right now in bringing this issue to you to allow the kind of local opportunity that's asked for here.
Questions for the panel?
Thank you
very much. So, committee, this is a referral to Ways and Means, or
yes, it does.
There is no Ways and Means, so
refer to budget.
Won't send it to Ways and Means. It's up to we can hold this bill, or we can move it down to Ways and Means, and we can consider the dash four amendments, or not. It's up to the committee.
I'd like to move it.
Move it. There's one vote for moving it.
I'd move it without the dash four, though.
Yeah, I would leave that decision down at budget.
Okay. I think we're might be unanimous on this, Senator George. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little uneasy, but since that was the agreement that the author of the bill arrived at. But if it's going to be negotiated and worked on later, I'm okay.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's going to go to another committee. I'm more comfortable without the dash four, but that's something that I'm sure the next committee will.
Mr. Chair, the reason I don't feel comfortable with the dash four is I don't think we've had the testimony as to us making that decision. I think if this is really going to move into becoming and expanding the existing law to allow all counties, there needs to have that discussion as to what would be the threshold before the county commissioner should be even approached.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll have that in the committee that's filled lands. That'll be the nature of the conversation. Anyone else before? You heard what we said, so anyone want to close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 1043?
Chair.
Senator Starr.
I move Senate Bill 1043 to
Senate Budget Committee.
Senate Budget Committee.
Senator Starr, do pass or just...
Do pass.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 1043 to the Senate Budget Committee with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections to that motion? So ordered. That bill is on its way as we speak. So let's open. We're going to open a work session on 427. Obviously not moving it, because I don't think we have any amendments drafted, but if we could talk it through and see if anyone wants to testify on that. Steve has a little open a work session on Senate Bill 427. This is a bill that, with Senator Metzger's, I believe, permission, we're looking at amendments to, just on the whole formula, specifically, and Steve, if you want to pass those out. Steve's
okay.
Provided a nice summary of the discussion we had Monday on this issue. The three things that seem to be on the table, because it's my feeling you're not going to do big changes to the formula unless you've really done a lot of interim work to bring parties together. So the three things that are really on the table is, A, do you want to do that interim work? And then at what form? And I'm really open to how you do that. I've like the idea of really forcing a bigger and broader discussion, but task forces, I just think, are so difficult to get at this issue. But I'm open on that. So that's the last issue Steve raised. And then high-cost disability, obviously, is the big one that's facing us. And Steve, if you want to walk through
the summary? Or
I can, Mr. Chair, if you like.
Sure.
Okay, the tried to just summarize your discussion from Tuesday's meeting. The high cost disability grant, the issues are, one, the sunset, whether to leave it sunset or to remove the sunset so that the grant can continue, or to extend the sunset for another 2 or 4 years would be another option. And then if it's to continue, then what about the expenditure level that the high cost dollars have to be above, whether it's the $25,000 that's currently in effect in the 03-05 biennium, or raise it to $30,000 that's been proposed. And then if you have one of those limits, is there a cap or not on the maximum grant, that the grant can be statewide for all totals? Current, it's $12 million. There was some discussion about raising it to $17 or $18 million per year. Another option would to make it a percent of the cost, like the transportation dollars are a percent of the transportation costs, or some other related issues then. The small high school supplement fund.
Well, maybe we'll discuss them one at a time.
Okay.
Does that?
So
committee, what I heard last time, but tell me if this is what y'all heard, was that folks what I heard was comfortable with keeping or extending the sunset on the high cost disability grant.
For removing the sunset and make it permanent, that's my interpretation.
That's your interpretation. I'll go with that. Is that folks nodding on that? Okay, so removing. Then the second issue is obviously, do you want to bump it to $30,000 or keep it at $25,000? Obviously, the issue there is how much school districts are reimbursed from the cost. How much, I guess, do they have to eat between the cost in that $30,000 figure.
The $30,000 allowed full funding with $12 million. The $25,000 currently means about 70% being taken into account with the $12 million cap. So there's trade-offs there.
So if we went to the $17 million cap, which then allows just about full reimbursement, do you need to even discuss this $25,000 or $30,000?
Well, then I assume you would want to choose the 25 if you made that decision.
Correct.
Senator, I was intrigued by the concept that what this plan does is provide. It's like buying insurance, buying into an insurance pool. And what I got from the testimony was that our experience in our pool is that we do not have enough to cover our cost.
Right.
And so if we just shove the limit up to $30,000, all we're doing is playing games with the numbers. And so if we really believe that this is in fact a catastrophic policy, then I think it ought to be 25, and we ought to come up with a higher number. And do you guys agree with that concept?
I do. I certainly agree with it.
Yeah,
I believe that.
I do too. If I could, Mr. Chair, I had talked to Steve afterwards, and he made a run for me. I didn't ask him to distribute it because I wasn't sure exactly what it was, but it was basically raising that cap from 11% to 13%. So, Steve, I assume that the pool or pot of money didn't change in the sense of all you did was run if we gave funding to a cap of 13 with the existing amount of revenue, that's what the breakout or the run shows.
Correct. All I did in that run was to change the 11% limit for the IEPs to 13% of ADM.
And the reason I bring that up is because when I just really got to go through this morning, so that's another reason I didn't ask for it to be distributed since I didn't get back to them in time. But when you look at just that change, I think it really goes right into what Senator George has said, because all of the districts would be taking hits on their per annum for each student. They would lose money because, you know, all you're doing is really rearranging those chairs. And so we really need to be looking at additional revenue for this population to actually address it. So I think what has been suggested and recommended is the best way to help the districts make ends meet, I guess, and take care of it more adequately by having the size of the pie a little bit bigger, for we can actually give them relief instead of saying you're going to get less per student to take care of your special needs students.
Steve?
What was I going to say? But if you go to $17 million for the high cost disability grant, then you're reducing the general purpose grant by the same number of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and the general purpose grant, if you could remind me, is to...
And the general purpose grant is 95% of the dollars that go out there, and that's the grant that has the weighted student count in it. Okay. So you have the transportation grant just for that. You have that high cost disability grant and the facility grant. The high cost has a cap. The facility grant has a cap. Transportation is based on the 70%, 80%, 90%. So that all of the change occurs in the general purpose grant and the weighted students. And so by putting more money into the high cost disability grant, every district takes a hit on their general purpose grant per weighted student.
That's the insurance.
Yes.
Premium.
Yeah. So and they're getting a hit for fuel and cost of the employees. Everything else is going up. But the question is, that would have to be a really minuscule number. When did you guys pick that up on those runs? I mean, on the average, for average daily membership, what does that number look like? It would have to be a few dollars maximum.
Let's see.
But at $10 million, it's $15 per weighted student.
So $20 million would be twice that.
Yes.
$18 million, somewhat less than twice.
Other thoughts? High costs, Senator Brzezinski.
No, I guess the other thing is that, it's my understanding, we're not looking at changing what is the eligibility and definition of what is those students. We would leave everything the same. One of the concerns I heard back from one of my superintendents was that sometimes if you may see a shift of people trying to qualify or establish that a student has a certain type of disability because they're going to get more money for that. But we're not really going there. We're leaving everything as to what the current formula is and eligibility. All we're doing is raising the amount of money that would be used for distribution to those that are eligible, and raising that cap from 11 basically to 13% or whatever it may be.
When there's a waiver process now, I'd like to know more about the waiver process, which we can have DOE. I don't know if they're here now.
Kansas here. He's been on the committee.
Oh, okay. Although we're running up the clock here, but we can revisit. I mean, you have that if you're above 11%, you can go into the waiver process. And
Mr. Marshall walked me through part of that, and so I understand that that's possible, and that's something I need to get back to at least one of my districts to find out if they've actually even used it, because it may actually take care of some of these other issues.
Uh-huh. Although it doesn't, the top two, mm-hmm. obviously you have to address in some fashion,
even right.
or it'll just sunset. Okay, so on small high school, Steve, since we're running up against the clock, maybe you could prepare, when you do the amendment, one with extending it and one without, and then we can discuss that in a week and a half when that comes back. And then the interim school, where's the committee at on the idea that you would just take a look at the whole formula? I can go either way on this. I think you should. I think it's needed. I think there's a tremendous case to be made. I'm just not sure, having watched these efforts, that it's going to be fruitful. And how do you make it that you actually address? I mean, I guess by composition, you could get folks in from Sherwood and some of the other districts that have real concerns and combine them with. But I'm really open on that if folks think. A waste of folks' time.
Our train is gathering speed, and the wall is getting closer. And I think we're going to have to deal with this thing. This, you know, I started to ask the question. You know, I see it just looking like this. I see revenue. You know, because property taxes are going up, but I see our costs. You know, for average daily attendance, doing like this, and then put in weighted and then special needs children, and you know, it's this is going to have to be dealt with.
Hmm.
Because we just can't sustain this. I mean, I think we're to the wall, but we're hoping that we get a little further down the track. So I hope that we're able to do something during the interim to to really get in here and dig and come to the conclusion that we're going to have to figure out something real quick. But is there any possibility, and this is my question, for a positive incentive for a district to try to move children up in the cost, because this is coming out of their regular budget. They get the double, but they're still short on $25,000 by at least $10,000 per student. So it's a reverse incentive. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I don't think anybody would be rushing out to add more children to it, because if their costs were 25 or above, they're going to have to find it somewhere in their existing revenue.
Yeah, they're going to have to move it within. Yeah, good point. Good. So other quick thoughts before we head to the floor. Are folks, I can work up or other, how you might put together, it looks like it would have to be a task force or a committee or something, but I can work if anyone else would be interested, I'd certainly punt that on a form of what that work group would look like. I'll talk to the Senate President's office and talk to Representative Butler, see his interest, and bring something back to the committee on that. We've got a few folks that want to testify. Is everyone comfortable? We've got 3183 to do. Is everyone comfortable on doing that? Looking at some sort of task force with some teeth in it.
Yep.
Okay, we'll work on that. Close the work session on 427. Let's try to do 3183 real quick. It's pretty easy. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3183. Steve.
Mr. Chair, members, House Bill 3183 deals with the distribution of the Common School Fund income to the school districts, and what it does basically is to take the counties out of the process and substitute the Department of Education so that the money goes more directly to the school districts.
Ms. Marshall, Mrs. Holman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. John Marshall, representing the Oregon School Boards Association. Recognizing your time constraints, I'm going to be extraordinarily brief. House Bill 3183 comes to you from some interim work that was done by the Common School Fund Beneficiaries Coalition. This is a group of the usual K-12 suspects that Department of State Lands Director Ann Hannes brought together to look at ways where we can enhance the revenue from the Common School Fund and therefore increase its contribution to elementary secondary schools. We identified a process whereby the dollars get from the Common School Fund to school districts, and you're being handed a chart that I prepared that shows the rather archaic and circuitous route those dollars follow from the distributable income account, that is the amount of income from the Common School Fund that's distributed to school districts. It's apportioned, then the data goes through the administrative office of the county, and the dollars go to the county treasurer, and the county treasurer waits until they get the data from the administrative office, and then it goes to school districts. On the reverse side is the proposed change in House Bill 3183 that sends the money directly to the Superintendent of Public Instruction and the Department of Education for an immediate transfer through wire into the hands of school districts. We believe House Bill 3183 serves two purposes. One, it will speed up the receipts from the Common School Fund into the hands of school districts. And second, it will give ODE, or the Department of Education, the data on those receipts so they can then do the process they do to allocate the remainder of the state school fund out to school districts. So we believe it's a good government, more efficient, cleaner, quicker way to do things. Thank you.
Ms. Holman.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'll be even briefer. I'm Jeanette Holman from the Department of State Lands. I would echo Mr. Marshall's comments and reaffirm that the Department of State Lands supports this wholeheartedly and thinks that it not only streamlines government but makes the system work faster and better other ways too. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, this is a comment. As a person who served for 6 years before I got in the legislature on a county budget committee, I always thought, why do we do this?
Doesn't it cost the county money just to process?
Exactly right. And we had to be part of the hearing process. And this is transparent.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Steve.
One question. I assume that changing this process doesn't change the label of the dollar so that it would still be considered local revenue in the formula.
Correct.
Other questions or comments?
I really like this idea, but I'd like to amend the bill.
We'll hold it.
And in consideration of that, I want to see 65% of the funds go to the classroom.
Can you? So you'll talk to these folks. We'll hold the bill.
Talk about it.
And you'll talk to those folks about amending the bill. Closed public hearing on 3183, and we are adjourned for a little bit here.